Welcome to a new episode. This is a bonus episode that we're doing as an update on the same-sex marriage referendum, or the state of same-sex marriage in Taiwan. And for that, we have Brian Hugh with me again. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Brian was already on in January when we talked about Taiwanese party politics, and now kind of as a round off for our series that we had on kind of minority rights and activism in a bunch of Chinese-speaking countries, we're looking back to Taiwan again, because we briefly spoke in our episode on LGBTQ rights about the fact that the highest court in Taiwan actually said that same-sex marriage should be legalized almost exactly a year ago. So the anniversary was May 25th. Mm. So it was a few weeks ago, but so that's been a year essentially since the decision, and nothing's really happened. And I was wondering whether you could kind of give us a bit of an impression of what the state of the political discussion is right now. You told us about the stalemate already in January. Like, has the situation changed in any way?
That's the funny thing. I think that it hasn't changed. And I almost wonder now, as 1 year has passed, and even as people have raised this 1 year anniversary, the fact is that the powers that be within the DPP and the Tsai administration don't seem intent on moving forward on this. And so I think we're going to have to really wait until actually we get around the 2 year limit that was imposed by the Council of Grand Justices before we start seeing some kind of, you know, dramatic shift. Because, you know, either the legislature then takes some kind of action, or it just passes by way of not doing any action and just same-sex marriage is legalized. In the meantime, there's a referendum attempt to overturn the decision by the Council of Grand Justices by anti-gay groups, mostly church groups, which have affiliated themselves more right-leaning forces in the political spectrum. And how that will work out is also unknown, because this is actually also untested territory that recently the benchmarks for referendum in Taiwan were lowered to have a national referendum on such issues, social issues such as gay marriage or, you know, possibly nuclear energy and so forth. This might actually be the first referendum to actually clear all the thresholds. And so the question is this something you can actually vote on? For example, theoretically, the referendum that anti-gay groups are pushing for could overturn the ruling by the Council of Grand Justices. But is that constitutional or not? That's actually a kind of quandary. So marriage equality advocates have attempted to argue that the referendum attempt is that to overturn the Council of Grand Justices' decision is itself unconstitutional. There's also kind of an odd attempt to even organize some kind of referendum against this other referendum. And how that will play out is even further complicated.
So has the DPP voiced any position on this entire thing since then? So I heard people were kind of saying around the 1 year benchmark, they were saying, oh, it sounds like they might be doing something now just because it's the anniversary, but nothing really seems to have moved substantially. So have they said anything?
Not particularly. I think just, you know, they're kind of, after a certain point, Tsai Ing-wen just adopted this rhetoric of saying that she would rely on the due process, and that while her personal position remains the same, she wants to kind of rely on due process, and she hopes the DPP and all others can follow through suit with this. I think that the DPP sometimes will trot out rainbow imagery at events or things like that, just as a way of, again, distinguishing maybe Taiwan from China, or just trying to claim credit for this ruling while not actually wanting to follow through on that. And so what is next is really unknown. I think it will require more concerted effort to really kind of force the DPP to take another position on this. I think that might actually be a step that pro-marriage equality advocates take as we get closer to 2018 elections.
Do you have a sense of, are there any actual reliable legal sources that don't necessarily have a stance in the entire issue who you can kind of say, oh, this is a credible person who I believe if they say such a referendum is likely unconstitutional, or is it just such new territory that there's nobody to you who can actually say that?
My impression of that is it is just very new territory. I'm not a legal expert or a lawyer or anything like that, but I do think that legal groups have generally skewed one way or the other. I think a lot of the lawyers, for example, that are active in civil society are in favor of gay marriage, but then of course that, you know, leads them to be have their own slant on the matter. As for the other side, I think they actually there are a lot of them are church groups. I'm sure they have lawyers among their members, but they don't seem to have organized members of the legal profession. And so, I'm sure there is on some level, but not on the same level as civil society. And so I haven't really heard on that side.
Okay, yeah, very fair. And so with the referendum, when they cleared the first threshold, a lot of the people I know were kind of surprised and came a bit of a shock to people. Was it, do you think that how quickly they reached the necessary number of signatures, was that the sign of the momentum that is behind that? Or was it to be expected?
That's the very interesting thing, because particularly with regards to the rise of anti-marriage equality forces, that is one of the first significant strong showings by conservative political forces in Taiwan in recent years. Usually, you know, the conservative side is much weaker, actually, in the past few years than, let's say, progressive civil society activists. And so what does that actually mean? Does that mean that there is a kind of a force in Taiwanese society that people haven't really seen before? That is of conservative politics. That's to be questioned. What is actually very interesting, though, is that before the referendum push, there was the attempt to unseat Huang Guoshang of the New Power Party, who is... has taken a strong stance in support of gay marriage. And the interesting thing is that they mobilized in his district of Xizhu to try to unseat him. But oftentimes those are not actually people from Xizhu. They were coming from Da'an or Xinyi or these kind of wealthy, much more conservative areas and just busing in, and that's actually quite far out. Some of these groups have resources and they're quite highly motivated. I think also the fact that they are church groups means that they can kind of mobilize en masse. And so it's actually somewhat different from civil society groups, or from protests by civil society or youth activists that, you know, people show up as individually or with friends. They can mobilize kind of entire groups, church groups, and that's proven effective. And maybe they do have a lot of resources at the end of the day. It's hard to say. I actually do think that organizing is spreading among some church groups in Taiwan, particularly Christian groups. I think that that's actually expanded from when groups first began making, you know, protests about this issue. But, you know, how much does that force actually matter? I mean, I even think that a lot of people didn't realize there were so many Christians in Taiwan before these demonstrations. I mean, I myself was somewhat surprised.
Yeah. Did you, you reported from some of the counter-protests as well, right? So the people who are in favor of same-sex marriage did, like, a bunch of counter-events. What was the mood there in general? Like, what is your impression of the mood within, like, civil society groups?
I think there actually is a surprising amount of despair, because I think that I think a lot of civil society groups feel that their faith in society has been shaken a little bit, particularly with, you know, recent events such as the the appearance of such groups, such anti-gay groups, or the protest by veterans against pension reform, or, you know, events of that nature. That actually did surprise, I think, a lot of people that there is these conservative forces emerging. I think particularly after the Sunfire Movement and after Taiwan's election victory, a lot of civil society actors just sort of thought the public was on their side and that, you know, Taiwanese society had demonstrated itself to be very progressive. And that's not actually totally the case. And so I think there's this kind of disappointment, this kind of despair even. However, just, you know, what will that translate into? I think just in terms of, it will only be after we see whether these groups succeed or not, then we can really judge as the political situation.
Right. And so essentially this referendum needs to reach a second threshold to actually be on the ballots during the elections later this fall. But there's not really any indicator of how close to that they are, correct?
It's very hard to say. Yeah, I also think that there will be challenges based on the wording of the referendum, specifically the questions they want to ask and, you know, how they're worded. There'll be attempts to kind of shoot down the referendum by disputing how it's worded. I mean,
can you explain why?
Just particularly in terms of whether it has bias or how what kind of impression it gives to voters. For example, another one of the questions they want to ask is regarding sexual education. I think particularly with regards to referendums, any nationwide referendum, it's sometimes people can confuse easily, you know, whether to vote yes or no. Does that mean you're supporting the bill or against the bill? And so I think criticisms are that they will try to aim for ambiguous wording in their favor. But, you know, that accusation made against every referendum and kind of every phrasing of every referendum question in, Taiwan's history to date.
All right. And with the civil society groups, is there any concerted effort to oppose this campaign? Because, I mean, the Christian groups, they all need to collect signatures right now. And from what I've heard, there's been a lot of vote gathering just by kind of telling people, are you against HIV? Do you want your kid to have HIV? Mm-hmm. So a lot of, like, scaremongering in that regard. Is there any concerted effort to have anything against that, to oppose that campaign?
I think actually what's interesting is that after a certain point, the anti-gay groups turn towards education as kind of their new front. Because after some of their actions caused more controversy, they want to turn towards the discourse of protecting the children from, you know, these dangerous gay people and sexually transmitted diseases and that kind of thing. Or, you know, what are our kids being taught in school? Are they being taught to use drugs and that kind of thing? And so they shifted back to that. The anti-gay groups that emerged, you know, about a year ago, they originated from these kind of education-based attempts to prevent young people from being taught that homosexuality is normal. And they've kind of returned to that. And actually, I think civil society groups and pro-marriage equality advocates have also kind of shifted their focus to that temporarily. Because I think that after a concerted period of action by both sides, there's maybe a little some exhaustion on both sides. And so instead of protesting each other directly, they've gone towards education, which is a little more indirect. I mean, you know, again, as I mentioned, I think closer to the two-year mark, they'll start coming out and protesting again. And similar to how it's very difficult to figure out whether the anti-gay groups are gaining traction, are they actually moving forward with their plans to hold a referendum, it's also very difficult to judge for the pro-marriage equality side as to what the current stage is. It is actually odd, because, you know, sometimes I think maybe both sides are just kind of oddly reactive to each other. When one is not active, the other is not active, and they just kind of cycle back and forth. In the meantime, there is a kind of new NGO that was formed specifically to advance marriage equality. One of the key figures is Jennifer Liu. And that has become the largest LGBTQ NGO in Taiwan, despite being, like, the newest, which is a sign that a lot of resources and energy are being concentrated on this. Yet at the same time, they only have, you know, something like 5 or 6 staff members, to my awareness. And so that still is quite difficult.
It does sound also like there are strong forces behind both that NGO and these Christian groups, so it just sounds like a very polarized situation right now, with like a lot of people behind both sides. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that is the case, but just it's actually very difficult to judge us the numbers until, you know, we have some bigger event, maybe similar to any sort of election.
Yeah, so are the elections going to be an indicator of where society is going in that regard, especially with the potential resurgence of conservative forces?
I think probably not, because I think that this won't actually be a hinge issue. It will be an issue that people criticize the DPP for, which may allow the third force, third parties that emerge after the Sunfire movement to gain more traction. However, this will not be the key dividing issue. I think right now, Pang Blue and Pang Green politics will still overshadow things. I mean, the KMP is generally not too big a fan of marriage equality. The DPP has also kind of backslid away from it. And so this does allow for more space with third parties, but I don't think this is a key dividing issue among society. And so it's hard to say. But at the same time, I think that people will try to give pressure to the DPP by threatening to withdraw their vote from the DPP if they do not make a more supportive stance, a stronger and more supportive stance in favor of marriage equality.
Right. So, yeah, I guess it's something to keep an eye on. And last question. So if the local elections are not going to revolve around this issue of marriage equality whatsoever, then what are the big dividing questions right now that people are kind of keeping an eye on?
I think probably the economy, just with regards to the fact that the economy hasn't improved substantially under the DPP. And the KMT will try to claim that it's maybe its pro-China policies will better Taiwan's economy and so forth, which it has advanced in the past. That probably doesn't have a lot of traction right now. The KMT is also losing ground rapidly. But the DPP, at the same time, is also not doing a great job in retaining support it once had in 2016 elections. I think the DPP might try an attempt to put on to appear progressive once again, and as though it had never kind of dropped the ball on progressive political causes. But how successful that be is a question. I think that for many people it will ring false. For third force parties that have been consistent on these issues, that might allow for some space. But it really is still a question, I think, as with 2 years ago, as to whether Taiwan has fundamentally moved beyond these questions of Pan Blue and Pan Green. And so that hasn't been resolved. The question of marriage equality between the two camps is still caught up within the conflict between Pan Blue and Pan Green in this odd way.
So is there, kind of like looking into the future, is there any reason to be hopeful about marriage equality in Taiwan?
I think that one can be hopeful because the Council of Grand Justices did make that ruling. And so if things remain in a deadlock, automatically it will pass. Just it won't be it'll be somewhat of an anticlimax that it just passes almost by an automatic process, rather than, for example, struggling for it and holding legislators accountable for their actions and, you know, really winning this. I mean, it's often the case that marriage equality is legalized through some kind of judicial system. I mean, you see that the big example is the U.S. However, with the rise of the conservative political forces, the anti-gay forces, I also don't think they're going to go away after gay marriage has been legalized. After all, there could be attempts to reverse the ruling. Could that happen? I don't know. There will be attempts to claim that this is unconstitutional, to once again use the judicial system to overturn the legalization of gay marriage. These kind of struggles will go back and forth. Unfortunately, I do wonder very much, does it mean that conservative political forces, that anti-gay groups have made a permanent presence in Taiwanese politics? And that might be actually a bigger question going forward.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much for that, like, pretty quick update. And yeah, I guess we all have to wait and see for the next 12 months.
Yeah, seems like it.